So I got some things stirring in my heart for the next few weeks, and it has to do with the goodness of God and with the favor of God. How many of you will believe with me for utterance today? Amen. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, thank you so much for this time we have together this morning. We look to the greater one on the inside of us. You are our teacher. You are our guide. Lead us and guide us into all the truth today. Open the eyes of our hearts, Lord. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts that are open and receptive to what you would say to us this morning. And Lord, we want to give you praise in advance. We give you all the glory and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So if you would be so kind, open your Bibles to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. And we're going to look at several verses in Psalm 34 today. And we're going to start out with our theme on the goodness of God. I saw some things about the favor of God, too, that I believe we'll talk about next week. He said in verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. How many of you think we should practice that? Amen. You know, when you're in a conversation with somebody and the conversation lulls, it's always appropriate to say, praise the Lord. It's always appropriate to say, thank you, Jesus. And somebody may say to you, well, that's just a habit with you. Well, if you don't have that habit, it's better than the habit you have. Amen. In verse 2, he says, my soul shall make her boast. Now, that word boast there doesn't mean like you're bragging on yourself or anything like that. The word boast is related to praise. My soul shall make her praise the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Now, the Passion Translation says, I'm boasting of you and all of your works so that all who are discouraged take heart. You know, when you have a praise report and someone is going through something, that can encourage their heart. Especially if you do it in the right spirit. You know, you don't do it pointing to yourself. You do it lifting up Jesus. Look what the Lord has done. You don't need to talk about how great your faith is because everyone knows that your faith is not that great. But we have a faithful God. Do we not have a faithful God today? So notice with me, we can talk about Him. And then in verse 3, he says, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. There is power in magnifying the Lord together in church. There's just something wonderful about the corporate anointing. When the corporate anointing comes in the church, in the building, the Spirit of the Lord is among us. And there is no good thing that He will withhold from those who will lift up their voice in one accord, who will magnify His holy name. And what you magnify in your life, you give place to. And so we don't want to be magnifying the problems. We do not want to be magnifying the difficulties, even though there are problems. And even though there are difficulties, we can magnify the one who can do something about our problems and do something about our difficulties. Amen. Now notice verse 4. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and He delivered me from all of my fears. He delivered me from all of my phobias. We should not have phobias. We should not have fears. Fears of flying. Fears of walking on the street. Fears of spiders. Fears of anything. Because God didn't give us a spirit of fear. We've been talking about the spirit of faith. We've got the spirit of faith and the spirit of power and the spirit of love and the spirit of a sound mind. Amen. Amen. Verse 5. They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Verse 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Well, what kind of troubles does a poor man have? Well, he's got poor troubles. Would God deliver us out of broke troubles? Amen. Has not God done something for you in that area of your life? Lift up your hands and say, thank you, Lord. You have delivered me. Now notice verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps around about them that reverence him and delivers them. Did you know that everywhere you go, angels should be going with you? And we can activate the angels of the Lord. That's a big teaching. But Psalms 103 in verse 20, notice with me, it says, the angel of the Lord. Psalm 103:20 says, bless the Lord, you his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments. Now read the last part of that verse with me. Hearkening unto the what? Unto the voice of his word. In other words, the angels of the Lord hear the voice of the Lord. Somebody says, well, I'm not the voice of the Lord. When you are speaking his word, you're speaking his voice. Amen? So the angels are listening, and they're waiting for your confession of faith. You know, in the area of finances, we could all declare he meets all of our need. And he does so according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Well, what that does, if you do that on a consistent basis, your angels hearken to your voice, and they're active, and they are sent forth to minister for you, for you are an heir of salvation. Amen. Praise God. Thank God the angels are here to protect you. They're not only given to us, but they're giving for us, and they will also work with us. Now, when you say, there shall no evil befall me, neither shall any plague come nigh my dwelling, for the Lord has given his angels charge over me, and they keep me in all my ways, you have just activated angelic protection. You know, looking back at my life, I know my angel was looking out for me. I don't know how many angels I have, but my angels protected me under the protection of El Shaddai, the God who's more than enough. From car accidents to almost drowning to drug addiction, the angels of the Lord encamped around about me. Even though I was outside of the family of God, God in his foreknowledge saw me and protected me by his angels. So don't give up on your lost loved ones. Don't give up on those that are addicted. Don't give up on those who are drowning in the cares of this life. The angels of the Lord watch over them, to keep them, to protect them in all of their ways. Woo! Glory to God. So the angel of the Lord encamps around about those that fear him. Amen? Now verse 34, our chapter 34, verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. What he's encouraging us is this. Find out for yourself just how good the Lord is. Amen. This is not talking about description. This is talking about experience in his goodness. The Message translation says this, open your mouth and taste. Open your ears and see how good God is. Yeah. Blessed are you who run to him. Now, we cannot taste delicious food with our mouth closed. And we cannot taste of the rich things of God with our heart and our Bible closed. We cannot see how good God is with our eyes closed. That's why we should constantly be praying that the eyes of our understanding would be flooded with what? Flooded with light. Oh, praise God. The common English Bible says, taste and see how good the Lord is. The one who takes refuge in him is truly happy. When you take refuge in him and when you live for him, you're going to have a happy life. You're going to have a life that is filled with joy. When you come under the secret place of the Most High and you make him your refuge, oh, praise God, it will make all the difference in your life. Truly happy people are those who understand the goodness of God and who take place under his protective wings. Amen? I love that scripture, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, the psalmist said it this way. He said, he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Amen? Isn't that good? He prepares a table for you right smack dab in this nasty now and now. The message says it like this, and I love this verse. He says, he serves me a six-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revive my drooping head, and my cup brims over with blessing. Amen? You know, the psalmist David, man, he had some intimate fellowship with the Lord. I mean, he knew God. He knew him as his refuge. He sought God with all of his heart. And I want you to know what verse 6 says of the same psalm. Verse 6 says, in the same psalm, surely our only goodness and mercy and unfailing love is going to follow me all the days of my life. Glory to God. Say it, and they surely goodness and mercy. They're following after me. They're running after me. And they are overtaking me. Not just when you get to heaven, but all of the days of your life right now. Amen. Woo, glory to God. We could say it this way. Surely goodness, mercy, and favor are following you all the days of your life. Oh, that's something we need to be saying on a regular basis. Past, present, and future. Every day of your life. Now, when he's talking now about tasting and seeing that the Lord is good, how many of you know he's not just talking about physical food? Now, thank God for physical food. I like that. But when he's talking about tasting, the word taste there means to evaluate. It means to discern. It means to perceive. This is what will happen when you spend time in his glorious word. He'll show you things. You'll be able to see it in your heart. God is truly good. You see, God is not what religion has made him out to be. You know, the attitude of religion is, God's going to get you for that. You know, if God was going to get you for that, we would have done been gotten a long time ago. No. And, you know, such, and people try to explain tragedies, things that they don't understand by, well, it's just the judgment of God. You know, that tornado, that hurricane, that earthquake was just the judgment of God. No, it's not the judgment of God. God does not teach his people through earthquakes. God does not teach his people through hurricanes. No, 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 no. He's got a better way and a higher way to teach his people. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Well, where does it come from? Well, I think we know the answer. It's the thief. Yeah. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. The hurricanes kill. Yes. The tornadoes destroy. Yes. The earthquakes rob people. Yes. So we know then that it's not the thief, because God's not the thief. God's not a robber. God's a giver. God's a blesser. God is a good God. The devil's a bad devil. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it redundantly. No, 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 not redundantly, that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly to the full until it overflows. So the ability then to perceive and to distinguish the goodness of the Lord will come as you feast on manna from heaven. Has anyone in the auditorium today tasted of the goodness of the Lord? Yes. Well, would you take some more? Yes. Would you take some more? Yes. I'll take all I can get. Yes. Years ago, we had a minister friend in and we served him a meal upstairs. And Brenda made her infamous baked beans. Ooh, those baked beans, that'll set your feet a-dancing. And those baked beans were so, so good. And I noticed he just kind of kept piling it up. He just kept scooping it. He tasted it, and I saw his face light up. And he said, "Ooh, these are good." He was tasting, and he was seeing that those baked beans were so good. And many times at home, you know, I'll cheat in between meals and I'll have something to eat. And then I'll tell Brenda, I said, "Honey, I'm not real hungry tonight." And she kind of looks at me like, I've heard that before. And then she'll just make something out of this world and place it before me. And next thing I know, I'm on my third helping. And she'll be smiling and looking at me. She says, "I thought you weren't hungry there, boy." No, I've tasted and I've seen that mama's cooking is good. And I'm just going to keep piling it on and piling it on and piling on. Well, when you have tasted and seen just how good that God is, you want more. Come on, somebody. How many of you want more? I want more of the goodness of God. I want a taste of more of His gifts of the Spirit. I want to taste more of His good, good word. Amen. Verse 9. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints, for there is no want to those that fear Him. Verse 10. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord. Now I want you to pay attention to that word. They that seek the Lord shall not want what? They shall not want any good thing. They that seek the Lord. Now I looked up that word seek, and it literally means this: to go in search of, to be on a quest, and to look for. It means to seek after. It means to make pursuit or resort to. They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Amen. Now, the reverse would be true. Those that don't seek the Lord shall want every good thing. Yes. Now, we just can't quote, "The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want," and live a loose life. We just can't quote Philippians 4:19, how He meets our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus, and live a loose life. See, these blessings are for those who will diligently seek Him. That's who He rewards. In Matthew 6:33, He said, "If you will seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all these things..." What things is He referring to? He's referring those things that the Gentiles seek after. What am I going to wear? Where am I going to live? How am I going to pay my bills? Notice with me, He did not just say, "Well, all these things will be added unto you." No, there is a condition, and that is that we must seek first the kingdom of God. We must put Him first in every area of our lives. Say with me, "I am a seeker of God, and as a result, I am greatly rewarded." Now, if you seek a good God, you get good things. And you will not want for anything. I'm going to quote just part of a verse, and I purposely did not put it on the screen because the verse is like this long. But you can look at it later. It's in the book of Ezra. Yes, I said Ezra, that book you have not read yet. The book of Ezra, chapter 8, verse 22. One of the quotations from that verse, it says, "The hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek Him." The hand of our God is upon all those for good who will seek Him. Oh, I love it, don't you? The ESV says in Psalm 84:11, and I want you to read it with me. Psalm 84:11, let's ready read. "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does He withhold from those who will walk uprightly." Oh, praise God. Let me just quote the Amplified. It says, "He bestows present grace." Do we need present grace? "And favor." And I love this, "future glory." honor and splendor and heavenly bliss for those who will seek Him. Verse 11, it says, "Come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you of the fear of the Lord." Now here's where we get into the crux of the message. You still here?
Amen.
Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, "You still here?"
Yes.
Look at their eyes. Make sure the eyes aren't drooping now. Because this is most importante, very important, amen. Okay, espresso, seat four. Double shot over here. Well, let's get a double shot of espresso from the good word of God, amen. Glory to God. You know, sometimes I'll go to Starbucks and I say, "Give me four shot Americano." That's four shots. That means the brother's got to wake up. You know, I believe in Jehovah Java, the Lord that waketh me up. But give me four shots of espresso and an Americano and only put about this much water in it. Woo, man. Thank you, Jesus. Singing the praises of God early in the morning. Amen. I don't know why I said that, but whatever. The crux of the message, right? What is man that desires life? This is a question. And desires and loves many days that he may, what? See good. He's about to tell us now how we can experience more of his goodness in the land of the living. And once again, he's asking us a question. How many of you here today in the auditorium, how many of you watching online, you want to experience long life?
Amen.
And you want to live in the goodness of God?
Amen.
I do.
Amen.
How about you?
Yes.
We all do. So we're in agreement. So now he gives us instructions. Now this is not the only way, but this is one of the biggest ways that we can experience long life and experience his goodness. Verse 13, keep thy tongue from evil, or keep your tongue from bad. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Keep your tongue from evil. Keep your tongue from unbelief. Keep your tongue from corrupt communication. Now, when it says keep your tongue from evil or from bad, that includes your mate. I just heard the organ there. We should be speaking good words over our loved ones. Good words over our wives. Good words over our husbands. Amen. Keep your tongue from evil or bad. And the rest of the verse says, and thy lips that they speak no guile. Now, I think it's also interesting here, Jimmy, that the scripture says you keep your tongue. I can't ask Ray, "Ray, would you please pray for me that my tongue is kept?" The tongue can no man tame. Ray can't tame my tongue for me. I can't tame my tongue for Pastor Tom. We must yield our tongue in subjection to the Holy Spirit. No man can tame it. But if we will yield our tongue in subjection to the Holy Spirit, He will train us, He will lead us, and He will guide us how to keep our mouth right. Set a guard, O God, over my mouth. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you getting anything yet? So you keep your tongue. We must watch our mouths. So if we want to experience long life and experience good, the first thing he says, get bad out of your mouth. Get bad out of your mouth. We should not be talking bad about our nation. We should not be talking bad about those who are running. Amen? Now, it's one thing to stand for what you believe for, and I do that. And we must do that. We must stand on the right platforms.
That's right. Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Yes.
But I am not going to yield my tongue speaking bad about this person or that person.
That's right.
What I'm going to yield my tongue to is praying in the Holy Ghost for each of them. And not just for them, but for governors, for congressmen, and for senators. We must yield our tongue to good. And the best way we can yield our tongue to good is by praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Are you tracking with me today? So if we want to see good in our lives, we must have good in our mouths. And this is the law of sowing and reaping. It is true. Whatsoever a man soweth, what's going to happen? He shall reap. I saw this quote the other day. Words are seeds sown with our mouths that produce after their own kind. And so we understand that there is power in faith-filled words. Is it true that death and life are where? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Amen. So it would do us really, really well if we refused to talk death. And you got to train yourself for this. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you with this. It's something that you can do, but it's going to take some practice. Because we live in a culture that is lopsided. You know, they'll see a nice motorcycle and say, ooh, that's bad. No, it's not bad. It's good. Right? Oh, man. You know, it's baseball season, right? The Yankees just made it to the World Series, and I believe the Dodgers are going to make it. It'll be a classic. I'm going to be in Southern California Friday night, but I don't have a ticket yet. If you have a ticket, please let me know. That's a faith hint. I say that's a faith hint. I say that's a faith hint. Where was I? Does anybody remember? We're talking about talking faith. Talking life. Talking the good things of God. And so we're in the baseball season. That's where I was. And they said, ooh, man, that guy's got some nasty stuff. Or that was a nasty pitch. Why not just say, man, he's a great pitcher. He's got really good stuff. Somebody says, well, you think, you know, that's a little bit legalistic. But yeah, but if you get into those things, you get into other things where you're talking death over really important situations. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, let's talk life. Let's talk life. So we need to ask ourselves then this. How did Jesus operate? Did his words matter? He chose words to release power and to change things. He chose words to bind and to loose. He spoke and the dead were raised. He spoke and the blind were healed. He spoke, glory to God, and the winds and the waves ceased. He spoke and trees dried up from the roots. Well, you're created in His image and His likeness. This is what we need to see. Say with me, I am created in His image and in His likeness. God has made me to be a speaking spirit. So since we are created in His image and in His likeness, we can choose words that release creative power. Power to bind. Are there some things that need to be bound? Are there some demonic forces that are coming against our economy that need to be bound? Don't you know that the enemy would just love to close the grid down? Don't you know that he would just love to have a complete overturn in our economy? Well, we're not going to just idly stand by and let that happen. Because we've got authority and we've got dominion. And whatever we Woo-hoo. Whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. And whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. We have been authorized as children of the Most High God to take our seat of authority where the economy is concerned and where your family is concerned and where the things that are really important are concerned in our lives. Say to me, I got the power to bind and to loose. I have power that stops things. I have power that heals. Now, somebody said, well, Pastor Mark, you know, you've had us say several things already this morning in the service. Would you please stop? No. Not nobody's thinking that. I use that for emphasis. But the question is why do you emphasize, say this, and say that so many times? Because Jesus is the high priest of our confession. Are you listening to me? And not only that, Hebrews 10:23, notice with me, it says, let us hold fast the profession or the confession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Now it's true. The Lord works with what's coming out of your mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. So make sure then what's in your heart is the good word of God. Amen. And then hold fast to the form of good words. Amen. Charles Capp says this, and I'm pretty stirred up right now about faith-filled words, because I heard years ago that faith-filled words dominate the laws of sin and death. Okay? Faith-filled words dominate. You like my shirt? You like my tie? Somebody says, I don't care for your tie that much. Well, that's your problem, not mine. But I'm stirred up about faith-filled words. And I'm speaking the Word of God more now than I ever have. Amen. And here's what he said. Words of God conceived in the heart. Conceived in the heart. To have conception, there must be some activity. And the activity of conception for us is meditation. So when you give yourself to meditation in the Word of God, there's going to be a conception. There's going to be a receiving in your heart. You're thinking about it. You're pondering on it. You're dwelling on it. You're talking to yourself about it. There's conception taking place. So Charles said this, words of God conceived in the heart, spoken out of the mouth, become a spiritual force that release faith. Amen. That's how you release faith. Conceive it, believe it, and talk it. And he goes on to say, which is the creative ability of God. You see, your power, my friend, is in your believing and in your speaking. Romans 10:9-10 tells you how you can be born again. It's with the heart that man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. There is this heart and this mouth connection. In order for faith to work, faith must be in two places. In our heart and in our mouth. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in the heart and in thy mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach. And if you can get born again by believing and speaking, you can be healed by believing and speaking. You can be set free by believing and speaking. Instead of saying, I'll never, ever get off those drugs. I'll never, ever get off that alcohol. Why not believe in your heart and say with your mouth that he's already delivered you from the power of darkness and he's translated you into the kingdom of his dear son, and because you are delivered from darkness, you are delivered from alcohol, you are delivered from pornography, you are delivered from drug addiction. Yeah. We need to change our vocabulary. Instead of saying things like, I always get the flu when flu season comes, change that. Flip the script and say, He always causes me to triumph. My immune system is getting stronger day by day. The spirit of Him that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me, and He quickens my mortal body. Somebody says, but Pastor Mark, I've been in bed 3 days. Well, while you're in bed, keep holding fast. Keep confessing the Word of God, and His Word will come to pass. Amen. Instead of saying, well, I never, ever, ever seem to pay my bills on time. Flip the script and say this. Whoo, glory to God. I always pay my bills on time. Because I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed out begging for bread. God takes pleasure in my prosperity. I have more than enough, because he's more than enough. Flip the script. The world's going down the wrong way. But the Word will always show you the right way. The right way is Yahweh. The right way is His Word's way. Amen? So we need to have a mindset of God's will. Oh, that will preach. I'm telling you, that will preach. So if you want to live a long time, amen, and not just live and check the box another day, but I'm talking about living life to the full. And if you want to see the goodness of God in your life every day, what's the number one thing? Watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. Watch what you say. If you want to see good, you must speak good. Hallelujah. Surely goodness and mercy. I prophesy over each and every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, every one of you, that surely goodness and mercy is going to follow you all the days of your life. And no weapon formed against you or your loved ones will ever prosper. I declare that no evil shall befall you, neither shall any plague come nigh your dwelling. I declare that each and every one of you watching online and in this house today, you are the head and not the tail. You are above and you are not beneath. You come behind in no good thing. Now, if I were you, I would say, I receive that. Because creative power just came out of my mouth. And if you will mix faith with it, so shall it be according to the Word of God. Place your hand over your heart and say, be it unto me. Be it unto me. According to the Word of God. Ooh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's take a praise break. We're almost done. Let's praise Him a few moments. Glory to God. Glory to God. Woo! Glory to God. Woo! Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. Woo! Glory to God. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 14, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Do good. Be a do-gooder. I don't know about you, but I'm not looking to get in strife. I'm not looking to fuss or fight with anyone. I'm not looking for the bad in people. I'm looking for the good in people. Somebody says, yes, but, yes, but, yes, but. You need to get rid of the buts. Love believes the best of every person. The Lord gave me this years ago. Love believes the best, but just leaves the rest. Well, somebody says, it's the rest I'm concerned about. Well, God's not. You shouldn't be. You pray about the rest. Amen? Verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. That's you. And His ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. But the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth. And what happens? And He delivers them out of, not out of half of them, but out of all His troubles. I rest my case this morning. God is good. He loves you. Seek good. Speak good. And you will have good. Let's all stand up. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. He that will love life and see many good days, say with me, I love life. And I desire to see many good days. Therefore, I will refrain my tongue from evil. And my lips shall speak no guile. I will shun evil. And I will do good. I am a seeker of peace. And I ensue it with all of my heart. Now, how many of you are serious about what you just heard today? I mean, you're serious of what you just heard. Well, let's pray and let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us. Place your hand over your heart and pray this. Heavenly Father, I receive the engrafted word today, which is able to save my soul. I've heard the word. I purpose in my heart to do what I've heard. Holy Spirit, help me. Bring these things to my remembrance. Help me to be aware, to be more aware of my words. You are precious, Lord. And I love you today. And I declare that you are my Lord and you are my Savior.